Hello. Good morning. Welcome to Pause to Pray. My name is Adam Schindler, and I am in my front yard today working on a project. I've had a mess for a little while in my yard. I live in Georgia, and I have a front yard that is full of red Georgia clay. And I have been figuring out how I can till up some soil because I'm too cheap to pay somebody thousands of more dollars. So I've been tilling up my soil using this rake and a brick. And this has been my day for a little while. So why am I standing in a dirt field in Pause to Pray? Well, I wanted to share sort of a little bit of this story with you guys because I just bought a new house a couple of months ago. And after I bought it, in between the time that I made an offer and the time that I took possession, the seller had to fix something in the front yard and in the process destroyed all of the front yard and the sprinkler system. And I was concerned about that. And I love grass. I mowed for the PJ Tour, greens and tees, when I was in college. And I just love grass. And so I moved in, and through a series of unfortunate events, I missed the window to sod my grass. And then when I went to go get something installed, finally, I didn't have a sprinkler system. So I had to get a new sprinkler system. Then I had a contractor didn't show up and blah, blah, blah. Had all of these problems. Okay. And so 3 months later, I have a giant patch of dirt in my front yard. And I'm frustrated about it, right? And I know this is first world problems, but I'm frustrated about it because I love grass and I got nowhere to play soccer with my son, right? And so I'm complaining about my nice, pretty house with a big yard that's just dirt. But the Lord's been talking to me about this, and I've been really frustrated. And He's been talking to me about it and talking about working the ground and working the territory that God has given to you. And my sense about this, and I just wanted to, I don't want to over-spiritualize things, but I'm probably going to do that today, because I feel like there's a word in this, because I feel like so much of what's going on in the earth right now is we're looking out at sort of a big barren land, you know, what should be a lush, fertile place is just red clay soil. Right? Things have been laid waste in a lot of our lives, you know, and we can look at the wasteland and the big wide open spaces where there's nothing but dirt and mud. And we can think, what a mess, what a problem. How am I going to fix this? You know, can I just get some new sod to completely cover over in one fell swoop all of the destruction? You know, can I just do that? Well, no, I don't know, maybe not, you know, but what I'm coming to realize as I'm standing in my dirty yard and I finally realized that I had an old tool and a heavy brick that I could tear up this fallow ground so I can plant some seed. And what I realized is instead of seeing this as a destruction, I need to see this as an opportunity to plant, to grow something, you know, to plant my own seed, right? But what happens, and this is sort of where I was, and I'm going to get to something here in the Bible, y'all. I wanted to plant my own seed. I didn't really want to. I wanted nice Zoysia, Emperor Zoysia grass that I could mow to make it look like a diamond checkered so I could look like a fair box, a fairway. But what I ended up having to do is seed because a variety of reasons. But then I got concerned about, you know, if I can't throw seed down, my sprinkler system's ruined. I don't have any way to water this. Am I going to have to do this big yard by hand? And my wife gave me this word in Deuteronomy 11:11. Really starts in 11:10 through 11:12. And I want to share it with you. I put it in the description of this video, but my phone's here, so I'm going to do this from memory. But Deuteronomy 11:10 says, it's about the children of Israel going into the promised land, okay? And when they go into the promised land, God says through Joshua, he says, through Moses in Deuteronomy, he says, when you go into the land, okay, this land that you are about to possess is not like Egypt, okay? It's not like Egypt where you had to sow your own seed and water it using your foot, okay? So water it using your foot is, you know, this. Water it using your foot. You know, dig up your ground, make an irrigation ditch, and pull the water in from the Nile. You had to sow your seed and dig trenches to get water into your territory. But God says this new land is not like Egypt, where you had to sow your seed and water it by foot. But Deuteronomy 11:11, the land in which you're going in to inhabit is cared for by God, that the rains come from heaven to water the land, to bring fruitfulness. So I was thinking about that this morning and decided to come out here because Egypt is a place where you sow your seed and use your own capabilities and eke out an existence trying to pull the limited water resource into your fields. Okay, but the land of promise is not like that. Okay, and the difference of the land of promise isn't that you don't sow your seed. Okay, because you have to sow your seed in the promised land. You have to put seed in the ground. The question in the promised land is, where does the water come from? Do you do it with your own strength and ability? Or do you recognize that when you sow seed, God gives rain? And that's the place that I'm at today. You know, where I've got to come into a new season. I look around at my front yard. I think about our nation. I think about the earth, and I see desolation and devastation, and I'm concerned. And many of us are rightfully concerned, you know, and we don't want to just disappear, you know, into our holy huddles, into our citadels of religious protectionism. We can't do that. We at Million Voices are standing up and we're speaking out. Okay? That is sowing seed. But we cannot, as believers, get into the place where we're operating like we have an Egyptian mindset when we sow our seed, is that we need to sow this seed and we need to go and make it grow. We need to go and give it water to force things into existence. Y'all, what I'm just hearing today is you have to sow seed, okay? You're in the promised land. This land is the land that the Lord your God has given you, okay? You have to sow your seed, but don't go back to Egypt where you think you also have to water it. Okay, Paul picks up this when he talks. I think it's in Corinthians where he talks about, you know, one man plants, another man reaps, but it's God that gives the water and causes the growth. So I just want to encourage you here today to not live with the Egyptian mindset, the Babylonian mindset, where when you sow, you also have to make things happen. You have to get the results. You have to produce the fruit. You have to see the outcome of your prayers or your actions. You know, don't fall into that system. And if you've got a dirty mess in your front yard or in your life or in your soul or in your family, you know, jerry-rig a little piece of equipment, tie a brick to a tin, and tear up that fallow ground. And then come and sow your seed. And ask your living God to bring living water from heaven to rain on the areas of devastation. So let's pray about that in specific. Father, we thank you, Jesus, that you are the one that gives water from heaven, that you are our living water. There is no life that we can find outside of you. Father, and as we look around at our nation and we look around at our hearts and at our friends and places, God, where we just see devastation, Father, we see a barren land that's been laid waste, Father, but we just confess with you, God, that sometimes when we see a barren land, you see a field ripe for seed, Father, ripe for a harvest. Jesus, so we declare in Jesus' name that we will be people that will look upon what looks like devastation and we will see with the eyes of God, that we will see a seed ready field where God can come with his kingdom seed that he sows into a pre-prepared ground, a tilled earth, the seeds of the kingdom. So Father, we just pray in Jesus' name that you would teach us, God, as followers of you, God, as prayer people, as those that care about our nation, Father, that we're not going to run and hide away. Father, I pray that you would teach us how to sow seed God, to not stay silent and stay hidden away, to let our voices count, use them. But Father, we pray, Jesus, that you would teach us and keep us from the trap of thinking we've also got to water, that we've also got to produce results, that we've also got to put into the ground the life-giving presence of God. Father, we just say, Jesus, we are totally dependent on your Spirit. God, the Lord yourself, you care for this land, God. And if you don't come and water the things that are in the earth, the things that have been buried in our nation, the things that we've sown in faith, if you don't come and water them, Jesus, there's no fruit in this land. So we cry out right now, Jesus, for you to come and water our land, to water the barren places, to water the vacant fields that have been tilled and sown by so many years of faithful intercession, faithful prayers, activity, action. Father, we ask, Jesus, that you would send your living water right now on this nation. Father, in these places of devastation and desolation, God, we know there are seeds of the kingdom that have been planted, and they are waiting for the outpouring of your presence. So we ask you, Jesus, for this. We believe you, God, for that. Father, I ask that you would make us, Father, people that are patient with things that are growing. Father, in this day and age where we mass produce technology and everything happens in a few moments, we've lost the ability to recognize growth. Father, I pray that you would teach us, Jesus, followers of you, that we're not imperialist conquerors. You know, we're gardeners, that we're not coming in to try and bulldoze a site and shoot up a sky rise. We're here to tend the earth, to plant seeds and to watch them grow. Father, I ask that you would give us patience, God, that we wouldn't just look at our own circumstances or look at this own generation. Father, that we would see down the road, that we would see the investment in the future generations. And Father, that we would take action and steps today to plant, to grow, and to watch you give life. Father, we thank you that you are indeed our caregiver. Father, and I pray right now for anyone that's listening that has a similar situation. And I feel like there's some of you the Lord's been asking you to do, like, I'll call it a prophetic act, something that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, like Jeremiah. Not that the Lord's telling you to be Jeremiah, but like he had to go lay down in a pit and weep on his back for a little while. And he had like scrolls and jars and things. But I just feel like the Lord has been encouraging some of you guys to do some prophetic acts that don't really make sense to you. Like come out here and, you know, dig up your field or take the rocks out of your field. I saw someone post that. Or like, this is a time of cultivating the thing that God has given to you. Okay. And you need to be encouraged to cultivate gently, patiently, the thing that God has given you. And it doesn't look like it will, and your job is not to get it to look like it should. Your job is to tend to it, to garden, to cultivate it. And I do feel like some of you are being asked to do a simple prophetic act that doesn't make sense to your rational mind, but part of that is just the action of putting your body connected to the thing that you're hearing. Okay, it's embodying the truth of God, like a ritual. You know, when we take communion, we literally take the body and the blood of Jesus into us. Not that the body becomes the wafer becomes the body. I know that's a theological discussion, but it's the embodiment of taking the life of God and doing an action and getting it inside of us in agreeing and remembrance. And I just feel like there's a prophetic act for some of y'all to do that, to embody, to live out your faith. Don't just think about it. Don't just pray it. Take an action and live out your faith in a prophetic act. And so, Father, I just pray right now, God, that as we become people more and more every day that learn how to tend, to nurture, to grow, to follow with you, that we don't come and conquer and rebuild. We come in and sow and tend and nurture. Father, teach us how to do that, Father. And I ask, God, that you would bring life into the barren fields. And I ask that, Jesus, that you would give grass in this dirty clay pit, this red, ruddy clay soil of Georgia. I ask for grass in my front yard. Father, and we ask for nourishing lawns for people, for places of rest and relaxation, things that are beautiful, things that bring life, that aren't maybe even utilitarian, but that they're beautiful. Father, we do ask that people would be touched with the beauty of the Infinite One, that we wouldn't just think about God and his utility, that he has to do this and produce this and give us this or conquer this or grow this, that there's even just a beauty. You know, the beauty of the Holy One of Israel, the beauty that is displayed in the creation, God, so much so that the earth is without excuse because we've seen the beauty of the Holy One. Father, we do ask that on this Shabbat that you would remind us of your beauty, that we would become people that could receive the beauty of the Infinite One, and that we would image that out in the earth. We love you, Daddy. We bless you, Father, that you do take good care of us. And even in our messes, especially in our messes, you are the God who is with us. So we just say we trust you and we believe you today. Father, I pray for everyone that's listening here live. Thank you so much for joining, y'all from Florida and all over the place. But I just pray right now that as you go into this weekend, as you finish up your work weeks, if you do get to finish your work week, or if you have to work weekends, or maybe the Lord has to deal with you because you work all the time. But I just pray right now that you would receive rest and peace. And I'm seeing this. So let's pray for Natalia's son on his birthday, that he would come to know the love of the Lord. Father, we pray right now for this young man. Father, that you have been after him since he was a child. Father, you knew according to your word that he was fearfully and wonderfully made, that he was crafted in the innermost parts with a beauty and a vision. So Father, we take authority in Jesus' name over any darkness and evil stuff that has built themselves up in his mind against the encounter with God. In Jesus' name, we call those things down in Jesus' name, according to your scripture. Father, and we pray a release of the Spirit of God over him, that he would see and hear what is true, that he wouldn't hear it from his mom or his dad or his coworkers, that he would hear the truth of God from you. And though that people may speak it to him, he wouldn't hear them, he would hear you. Father, we call for his salvation in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Well, thank you all for joining me. I am going to go back to my grass project. I came out this morning to do this because we had a little bit of rain. And I went to go and sow my seed this morning, and my spreader was broken. So I was ready to sow my seed, but now my spreader's broken. So I have to go to Home Depot, which is not prophetically connected to anything I'm saying. I just have to go to Home Depot. So I appreciate you guys. Thank you for joining with us on Million Voices. If you haven't, go to millionvoices.org, sign up for our newsletter, get connected to the things that we're doing. We're so grateful. Appreciate you guys all very, very much. Enjoy your Friday and your weekend. Shabbat Shalom. We'll have the greens on tomorrow, and we'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.